Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome your sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a 3-day intensive workshop for men seeking to overcome sexually addictive behaviors. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery. Your experts have over 35 years of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Upcoming workshops this year, October 16th through 18th, and November 20th through the 22nd. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY. Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Stephen Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Stephen is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Stephen on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this week's edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're so glad to have you here with us again this week. My name is Jonathan, and I'm sitting here with Stephen. Stephen, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
Good. Well, we are rocking and rolling into the school year. I hope all of you who have kids in school have gotten into a great routine and pattern, and that your kids are doing great, and that you guys are making it as parents. We are going to continue in our three-part series on trust. This is the second of our three-part series on trust. And so, Stephen, I'm going to pass it off to you because this is kind of going to maybe get more into sort of an inner dialogue or inner ideas of what could be going on in a man who maybe can't trust or some reasons why.
Yeah, what kind of comments do you hear? And we want to propose that idea that when you hear these comments, you might want to think of them instead of just a resistance issue or a closed-off issue, really as a trust issue. Because when you hear some of these comments made by men, you can hear a pushback. It's almost like somebody's asking for a reasonable thing, but these men push back. They make excuses. They have some explanation about how you're wrong. We don't need it. And so you come in a very reasonable, with a reasonable presentation, a desire, and he does this pushback thing, and you wonder, why doesn't he engage very well? Think about being wounded and never learning to trust. But today's outline and discussion is about comments you might hear, and then decode it to maybe it's an inability to trust at a heart level. So guy number one says, well, relationships are hard. They're hard work. They take a lot of work. You got to work on a relationship, and it's exhausting. Relationships are just tiring.
Welcome to the real world. Isn't that kind of what you want to say? I mean, one of the things I noticed before we even started this broadcast, as I was kind of looking over the notes for this particular broadcast, is I was thinking, you know, a lot of these comments come really out of the thinking that a child might have. And I don't mean to sound...
Simple, you mean, right?
Well, yeah, and I don't mean to sound mean or nasty about that, but don't you think this is childish thinking? You know, a child says, I don't want to do my homework. It's hard work. I don't want to, you know?
Yes.
And yet, you know, Paul tells us when I was a child, I thought like a child, but now I'm not. And so childish things are behind me. And I think, you know, one of the expectations that we probably need to have if we are going to build trust in our relationships is it's going to be hard work. This is not for the wimpy. It's not for the weak. It's not for those who say, this is going to be easy. And so some of it is just getting a more realistic expectation of what trust is all about.
Yes. And so it, at one level, you think this guy never learned how to trust. He can't relax. Remember, if you listen to the last program, all the skills of being patient, consistent, and deepening over time, he doesn't know how to do that. And so he says, it's hard work. It's hard work. It's too hard. He resists it. He pushes back. So on one level, think he can't trust. He never learned to trust. He can't engage someone and be at ease with someone and open up with someone. But the other part, on a logical comeback would be relationships are hard. Well, loneliness is boring.
Right.
You know, the alternative is not loneliness is frustrating. Loneliness is irritating. You know, pick one. You only got two choices here.
Yeah, and loneliness is empty.
Yes. So that's no great solution either. Guy number two, remember these are all not, they're not connected. They're just comments and take each one on its own merit. Guy number two says to his wife, hey, I already work a job. I put 8 and 10 hours a day in. I provide this home, and I take care of the lawn, the house, the pets, the chores. I work, and I work, and I work. Isn't that enough? What more do you want from me?
And the wife would respond, you. No, it's not enough because I'm not getting you. The house is great. You know, having money in the bank is great. But you know what I've heard time and time again, Stephen, especially over the years of doing this ministry, is that when we come across these hurt and broken wives and the frustration that they're going through, so many times I've heard wives say, all I ever wanted was him. She could care less about all the stuff. She could care less about all of the career, the bells and whistles and all that. All she's ever wanted was his heart. And so what you hear in this comment, I think, is a guy who has misdefined how trust is built, believing that, okay, trust, you should trust me because I just give you all this stuff. That I provide a big house and I provide money and I provide food. So therefore, that should make me trustworthy. Whereas, like we talked about in the last broadcast, trust is on a whole different level. It's not in the material world necessarily. It's on the soul, emotional, spiritual level. And you can't get that through, putting a Ferrari in the garage. It's not gonna work that way.
And I think you said that well in terms of she wants you, she wants your heart, she wants your stories, she wants you to open up, she wants you to be at ease with yourself while she is at ease with herself. That's what she wants. But a guy that never learned to trust, never learned to open up very well, he'll wash her car, he'll do the laundry, he'll clean the windows of the house, he'll pull every weed out of the garden. Mm-hmm. But he can't trust. Guy number three says, my wife's not very engaging. She's really stressful. She talks. She lectures. She rattles on. She just irritates me with all this dialogue.
Well, and I think in this case, you know, one of the reasons, this could be indicative of some historical elements in both of their lives where, this guy might not have learned to trust because he's just thought, how can I open up to anyone who's just going to, you know, lecture me for all the things that I've done wrong or that I've not getting right? And so there's a fear factor, I think, in this that says, I don't want to be pounded for opening up my heart to this person who wants to lecture
that
me.
That is an excellent point, because sooner or later, we're going to talk about our weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't talk, then we don't have to worry about talking about our weaknesses.
Right.
But if we talk, we're going to get there. So it's better just to say she rattles and she talks and she goes on, and I'm not interested in that. I don't know why she keeps doing it like I'm interested, like I'm going to respond. I'm not. I'm going to glaze over. I'm going to look at her. I'm going to say, what?
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and talk. You want to talk? Go ahead, talk. I mean, that's what's going to happen. Guy number four says, really, most of my relationship have not provided me with a lot of pleasure. There's ideas and expectations and wants and needs, and it's stressful to have the pull of a relationship always hanging on you.
See, this is where I think this type of thinking is where the lure of porn comes in, because there's this underlying expectation that everything about a relationship should be pleasurable. Well, again, false thinking. It's false expectations of what real relationships are about. In order to grow trust, in order to engage in building trust, you have to realize there are difficult moments in that. There are difficult seasons in building trust where there's conflict, there's disagreements, there are arguments, there's pain, there's emotional blow-ups or blandness, or I mean all sorts of things that are just part of growing trust. And if we have the mindset that everything about a relationship should bring pleasure, then you can see how easily a person could get disappointed and just kind of bail out on the whole process of building trust.
And so one of the ways is to find just pleasure and go to pleasure. But this next guy says it kind of almost in the opposite. He says, I experience a lot of discomfort in relating to others. I'm not at ease. There's a nervousness about me. I can't think fast. And people say, what do you feel? I don't know what I feel. I just get really nervous when people want to talk and get close. I don't know what to say.
Well, and I can actually kind of relate with this comment because, and no, I didn't specifically make this comment for the show today, but I can really relate with this guy because, I get the sweaty palms, and I get when I know that my wife and I are going to go into that level, that depth of conversation. But, one of the things that's, I think, is happening with me over the years is I'm realizing what the outcomes can be as I have allowed myself to go into those areas of depth where I'm very uncomfortable. Over the years, when I've seen the outcome be a trust-building outcome, I'm less afraid, I'm less anxious about going into those areas because I have a history now. That's, again, why time is such an important factor to building trust, because now I have a history of all of these outcomes that have been positive toward my relationship. So I can go, okay, I'm uncomfortable right now, but you know what? I remember I've done this a lot of times before, and the outcome is always I feel closer to my wife. I feel more connected. I feel safer in our relationship. So, okay, I can go down into this area of conversation. And so sometimes just doing it and building a history of positive outcomes can help break this cycle of thinking.
And that's it. Step in, practice, get closer, get awkward, make mistakes. But don't lock up, shut down, and do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So men who have a hard time trusting themselves and others probably haven't really engaged others very well. And so guy number six says, sometimes I think this about myself. I don't really have a lot to offer. I think a lot, but I don't talk a lot. And I haven't practiced that skill of putting all of your thoughts into words, words that are ordered and make sense and flow. I have long dialogues in my head. I don't say a lot. I'm not sure they want to hear it. So not much really flows out of my mouth.
This is kind of consistent with shame dialogue, I think, because it's making... In some ways, it's making assumptions about other people's opinions in your own head. you know, and a lot of, and this, even this comment, I don't have a lot to offer. That's kind of shame thinking. Everybody has value, has worth, has something to offer. And also this is making, again, an assumption about what other people are going to think without actually giving them the opportunity to think it. You know, if I'm going to just stay closed off and continue to tell myself I don't have a lot to offer, well, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy because I'm not offering anything. And sometimes we just got to step out and say, let's give people the opportunity to respond to this ludicrous question or doubt that I have in my mind and press in. And you will probably be surprised at their response because you'll find you have something to offer. And if you don't offer it, you can't build trust.
That's good. So guy number 7 says this line, I don't know how to reach out. People talk about, well, just reach out and take a risk. Go out there and connect and bond, attach together. Well, you know, I don't do that. I don't reach out. I don't know why I don't do that, but I don't reach out. I just stay to myself, and if somebody comes to find me, then fine. But I see my wife, she reaches out, and she calls other people, and she looks for other people, and she looks to talk to other people. She does good at reaching out. I'm not very good at reaching out.
I'll give this guy one tip that he can start. I mean, this is like very, very practical. Trust 101 practice here, okay? And, you know, you can expand it from here, but one of the things that we've done periodically throughout our relationship is, you know, if there's been difficulty in saying, well, how do you get it? How do you reach out? How do you start these sorts of conversations where you can engage at a better level? You do the high and low. So basically, maybe in the evening when you've got, heck, just 5, 10, 15 minutes, you say, okay, what was your high today and what was your low today? On an emotional level or whatever was happening. And then you just start talking about whatever that was. And it causes you to reflect. You have to think, okay, what was my low today? You have to actually think back into your day. You have to put words around what happened. You have to be able to talk about it on an emotional level. What actually was the feeling that was going on when I got the pink slip on my desk today? You know what I mean? That sort of thing where you've got to say, okay, this was the low. That can start dialogue, and you are reaching out at that point in time. That's how you reach out. You just start having dialogue about what is going on inside of your mind and your heart.
Good. Guy number 8 says, when it comes to personal stuff, I'm more of a loner. I'm a private man. You know, I keep my stuff to myself.
This is probably, in my opinion, the most common excuse I hear guys say for not having to open up about who they are. I'm private. I'm a private guy. And my response to that typically is you are destined to be a very lonely and alone and empty guy if you keep telling yourself that pitiful excuse that the reason I don't talk, the reason I don't share and invest myself in anyone is because I'm a private guy. You are setting yourself up for a terrible existence. I mean, just a lonely, empty...
It sounds lame even to hear you say it. It's like people really... That's their explanation of how they're going to go through life. Well, I'm private.
And some of what they're doing is also masking this whole area that they've got hidden in porn or something that they just don't want anybody to know about because
that's
of the
true.
Negative repercussions.
That's right. But this radio wants the listener... The program wants the listener to... think in terms of their spouse cannot trust. So why am I private? Because I don't trust myself. I don't trust letting this stuff out. I keep it all neatly inside. I don't know how to trust very well. But they don't say that. I'm private because I don't know how to trust. And I don't know who to trust. And I don't know if it's okay to trust. That's
so
why I'm private.
So this is a good word trigger for the spouse when they hear their husband say, well, I don't want to talk about that. That's private. I'm a private guy. Then that's a cue to the wife to say, what can I do so that you will trust me more with the private areas of your life? Because you can't go deeper in a marriage relationship, if you can't get to that level where the private self is exposed to your spouse. And so, wives, if you're listening, if this is something your husband brings up a lot, I'm private, then maybe ask him to engage in a dialogue that you're offering to ask him what you could do so that he could trust you more. And at least start a dialogue on that
That's
level.
Good. And this is probably not as much a how-to or what do you do about it as I hope it's an insight.
Right.
And, you know, I appreciate your tips, but I want people to think about trust so that they figure out, because wives will get confused. Doesn't he like me? Doesn't he want to talk?
Sure, yeah.
No, he doesn't trust at the very basic level. He doesn't trust himself. He didn't trust where he came from. He doesn't trust. Guy number 9 says, if I stretched myself, I could do more. He knows. He's comfortable. He's repetitive. He's doing the small, simple things. And it would require me growing, stretching. Yes, I could do more. Yes, I could stretch myself. But I'm comfortable just staying to myself, private, inside, and not stretching and growing and cracking that door open.
This is one of the comments I see as kind of positive because it shows that there's something stirring in this guy. You know, he probably does trust to a degree. He probably is able to invest to a degree, but he knows that it's not what his capacity is. And so I actually see, you know, if you're married to someone like this that makes this comment, that's a huge positive because probably just with a little bit of nudging, they could trust more. They can invest more. And so there's a real positive aspect to this particular comment because something is, again, kind of churning in this guy that there's probably an attractiveness to him to say, probably if I did more, I'd even enjoy more.
Good. Number 10. This is a funny statement. And so I got a lot of humor out of this, but I think it's descriptive of what it's like for some guys that don't engage when they try to engage. He said about his relationship, he said, when we talk, it's more like going to a gym and having a difficult workout. I mean, I am sweating and panting, and I want to go away and rest because talking is like pumping iron and running in place, and it's just exhausting to me.
I mean, if that doesn't speak romance, you know, I don't know what. You know, it's funny because this is actually a statement, not in the exact same way, but that I've kind of tried to convey to my wife at times before, earlier on when I was in my earlier on in my recovery and we were kind of restoring our marriage, and I would tell her, you know, this is, man, it's work, you know, sometimes I don't feel, and to her it was just like this deflating kind of thing, like, oh, I'm just a piece of work to you, huh? I just, everything about our relationship is just work. And it's such a difficult to be able to communicate this idea because I get exactly what this guy is talking about. And it kind of goes back to that idea of discomfort. And I think a lot of what's going on here is just such unfamiliarity with the territory of trust building and how to grow trust and how to build a relationship. But the only way he knows how to communicate it is, man, it's like going to the gym and working out, you know? And
he's trying to express a real thought.
Yeah.
So that people understand it, because he really is, it is hard, and you have to make yourself listen, and you have to try to interpret what they're saying, and then wives go down this trail and that trail, and you get lost in the dialogue and say,
right. And that's, you know what, you bring up a good point there. I think sometimes too, we just have to recognize the differences in the familiarity that a man and a woman have in the arena of emotional talk. Women just tend to have a lot more familiarity with that territory. Men, not so much. And so a lot of times we feel outmanned, if you will. You know, we feel like we're the underdog and we don't know what we're doing. And so this guy is kind of explaining it in a very humorous kind of way.
Yeah, when we talk, it's more like going to a gym and having a difficult workout. That's a great line.
Yeah.
Guy number 11 says, it's much easier to be a loner because I don't have to worry about your wants and your needs and your desires and your heartaches. I'm just a loner. I just keep to myself, but I didn't really want to be alone. So I said, I do, so I could get in this marriage. But I want to live like a loner. I don't want it to worry about all sorting through all your stuff.
Well, and you know what? I would agree with this guy. It is easier to be alone. I mean, it is. But if you're looking for true contentment and true satisfaction and fullness in your life, it won't come through being a loner. Yeah, it's easier because you don't have to engage and you can be selfish and self-centered and you can do whatever you want. And okay, that's the easy way, but it doesn't bring about fullness and richness in life. And it's often the difficult things. It's the things that don't come naturally in relationships and in life that are going to bring that sort of quality and richness and fullness to it.
Number 12, and our final comment is this comment. I do a lot of thinking. I solve problems and I think issues through. But it's mostly about things that interest me. And so I think about things I want to think about. I just don't talk much.
Yeah, and in a guy, for a guy who's, you know, struggling with trust, that's going to be a problem. Because one of the things I've been learning, and Steve, I know that you knew in your many years of marriage, is that if you're thinking in your relationship is primarily about things that interest you, it's hard to grow closer to the person that you're married to. Eventually, at some point in time, we have to take Philippians 2 seriously, where it says, consider others' needs more important than your own. It doesn't mean that our needs aren't important or even that our interests aren't important. But ultimately, there is a selflessness that God wants to move us to. And I think, wouldn't you agree that trust is really built through being selfless, not selfish? Because we're saying, okay, I'm gonna pour my heart into you, but ultimately what I'm doing is I'm kind of investing myself into you so that I can, this relationship can grow and trust can deepen.
Well, and I think that's the right pathway to go down, because the alternative is to get mad and stomp around and get in his face and argue with these statements. But I think the gentleness and the understanding of woundedness and the comfort is what he's going to respond to more. So when you hear these comments, don't get opposite them. Don't argue with them. But recognize that there's a man who never learned to trust behind that statement. And you can work powerfully if you work smart. I tell people, you got to first define the problem accurately to solve the problem. Otherwise, you're working on the wrong problem. And so here's a new concept. You probably have not heard this concept anywhere else. It originates right here with this team. And we've been digging into men and talking to men and working through issues with men. And I would say to wives, think about it as a trust issue at a very deep level and a woundedness related to trust.
Well, we're glad you've been with us, and we look forward to having you back here next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
You've been listening to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Learn more about our show at puresexradio.com. Thanks for tuning in to today's broadcast. We want to hear from you. This broadcast is not possible without the prayers and financial support of listeners like you. Our mailing address is coming up. Get your pens ready. You can also contact us by phone at 1-800-49-PURITY. That's 1-800-49-PURITY. Our mailing address for your notes and donations is Pure Sex Radio, 1800 Northeast Loop 410, Suite 401, San Antonio, Texas, 7817. Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.